Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Attention Please podcast, now on video. If you like this podcast, kindly like, share, subscribe. You know what to do. So let's start with something that Rajdeep Sardesai, who obviously is a name that I think my viewers and my audience would immediately know, so he needs no introduction. So let's start with something that Rajdeep Sardesai said at one of those jamborees that seem to be really how channels nowadays make their money. I think it's a sad reflection on the state of the news industry that a significant portion of their revenue now comes from these sponsored events. And I think there is somewhat a push to make controversial statements so that, you know, such events get quite a bit of airtime and social media commentary. And of course, here I've fallen into the trap and I'm going to react to something that Mr. Rajdeep Sardesai said at this event. So let's first look at what he says and what is worth responding to.
सच्चाई ये है कि हमारे देश का मध्यम वर्गीय, मैं सौरभ की बात से कुछ हद तक इत्तेफाक नहीं रखता हूं, हमारे देश का मध्यम वर्गीय जो बन गया मिडिल क्लास, पिछले 30 सालों में किसी ने लेफ्ट का सवाल पूछा था, लेफ्ट की कमजोरी क्यों हुई है, मिडिल क्लास बड़ा है और मिडिल क्लास केवल अपनी अपने स्वार्थ के लिए एक तरह से आगे बढ़ता है. वो मिडिल क्लास सबसे ज्यादा सांप्रदायिक बन गया है इस देश में. गरीब सांप्रदायिक नहीं होता, गरीब को हिंदू मुस्लिम को जरूरत एक दूसरे की पड़ती है.
देखिए ये माइक पास लाके
हिंदू मुस्लिम को एक दूसरे की जरूरत जब गरीब होता है ज्यादा पड़ती है. हम जब अमीर बनते हैं ना, मिडिल क्लास बनते हैं, तब हमें हमारी धार्मिक आइडेंटिटी को सांप्रदायिकता में बदलते हैं. जिस तरह से सोशल मीडिया हो या व्हाट्सएप हो, जिस तरह के बयानबाजी होती है, वो मध्यम वर्गीय जो स्कूल कॉलेज और यूनिवर्सिटी में जाते हैं उनमें सबसे ज्यादा होती है. जो साइंस पढ़ते हैं, सम ऑफ द मोस्ट कॉम्युनल माइंड्स इन द कंट्री हैव बीन साइंटिस्ट. गुरु,
सो फर्स्ट लेट्स काइंड ऑफ अनपैक, दैट्स क्वाइट अ लॉट व्हाट ही सेड. So the first thing that he says, and that's possibly the most outrageous thing, and that says a lot to, you know, when we look at the outrageous things that Mr. Sardesai has done, to still be able to shock us with something, it says something for what he just now said. It was so bad that the moderator from Lallan Top was trying to kind of stop him from further embarrassing himself, but he was obviously on a rant. So the first thing he says, he makes an extremely gross generalization. He says the middle class, the Indian middle class, is selfish, swarthi hai, selfish. So apparently only the middle class is selfish and is obviously, as a concomitant of the selfish, they are communal. So if someone else had made such a generalization, I mean, this is a gross generalization. I mean, this would be ground for cancellation. If you say this for any other group, if you make such a broad brush statement, I mean, they would at least be called an extremist and a loony. But in case of Mr. Sardesai, he has the privilege of still being an intellectual after making such a statement on a public forum. And as you can see in the video, that for those of you who've seen it, and I've also linked to it, or I've provided it as part of this podcast, is that he's going on. Somebody's telling him to stop and he's still going on. So it's obviously something which he strongly feels. Now, subsequently, I saw that he had kind of dialed back and he said, oh, I didn't say that, I was saying some middle class. But it's obvious in the video that he's saying all middle class. First of all, this is something that obviously nobody can say. I mean, no matter what you think about India's increasing polarization, just to say that the entire middle class is swarthi, selfish, it's like not driven by any kind of data. And we don't even know that. I mean, is there anything that he refers to? No, he doesn't. It's just basically something he thinks. And if there is something he thinks, then obviously it must be the truth. I mean, that's the hubris from which people like Mr. Sardesai comes from. So first of all, let's just look at the statement. The middle class is selfish. There's really nothing to say. I mean, ultimately, everybody is selfish in a way. I don't know why the middle class comes in for hammering. And I think we know why, but I'll come to that. First of all, and this somebody might have a legit different opinion on, is that the communalism that we see today is being driven by the middle class. That is the middle class which is the most communal and the most dangerous. So first of all, and this is, there can be debate on this, and I can think that some people might differ with what I'm going to say, but let me just say what I think. First of all, this is absolutely not true. For those of who have followed you know, communal conflagrations in this country is that the people who fight aren't middle class. I mean, they belong to, you know, they belong to people who are not middle class, who may be aspiring to be middle class, but they are mostly poor people. And the reason why it happens is, why do communal rights happen? What's the basic thing is that, you know, you have a huge number of people in this country. It doesn't really matter if it's the BJP, which is in the government, or the Congress in the government. These things really don't change much. There are a lot of people who live like kind of cheek by jowl, and they're fighting each other for their daily existence. It's like two hard surfaces continuously rubbing against each other without any lubrication. And there's just too few resources and too many people. And fighting is bound to happen. And so it is people who are not middle class who are actually the persons on the front lines doing the fighting. They're the ones who are fighting. And it makes sense. They are also the most vulnerable in our society. They're the ones who are least protected. They have also, and this is ironic, they have the most to lose and also not much to lose. So it's kind of contradictory to say both. But because they are the ones who have the most to lose if their house gets burned, they are the ones who are most likely to fight. And they also have little to lose. They're not so afraid of the law. They don't, if they go to jail, they have so little to lose because their lives itself are sometimes so hopeless that they are quick to anger and quick to react. So the middle class has a lot to lose. Now the middle class might talk a lot, that is true. They might forward much more WhatsApp and that might be what Mr. Sardesai is reacting to. But in terms of logic, to say that it's really the middle class which is fueling communal hate, it's just not true. And again, people can disagree with me on this, but to kind of broad paint an entire class with their swarthy or selfish and hence immoral, it's just outrageous. And again, it's something which Mr. Sardesai can keep on doing because, you know, that's really his game. So again, we come to what Mr. Sardesai is trying to say is that the WhatsApp forwarders and the consumers of content from his rivals. And so this comes from a point of personal animus. When he's saying this against middle class, he's not, and you can see the way he talks. This is not a very level-headed person making a logical point. He's coming from a position of extreme passion. So the real thing is he's just pissed off. He's pissed off because, first of all, his political party hasn't been winning and doesn't look to be winning the next election either. So first of all, he's extremely frustrated. Second is that as somebody who has lived, and by the way, he's not the only one who has lived off the crumbs of government, this is personally a disturbing thing for him. So much of what you see comes from a sense of great personal frustration. This is not really even that I'm trying to kind of counter his argument as if I'm kind of tacitly saying that this is what he believes. I don't honestly feel that he believes this himself. This is just him lashing out. He's lashing out at the middle class purely because the middle class no longer watches him. He used to be a big deal at one point of time. He no longer is. This is the core of his frustration. So he used to be, for those of you who remember once, the Amitabh Bachchan of CNN-IBN. And this was during the UPA days. Now what he is like a Deepak Tijori in a multi-star. That's what he is. That's what he is in India today. And he has to do these double act circuses with Rahul Kanwal as Johnny Lever. I mean, that's where he's come from. And so who does he blame for this? He blames, I'm pretty sure he blames a lot of people for this, but he blames the middle class. The middle class who he believes has deserted him personally, his political party, and have gone over to Arnab Goswami and the other, you know, the right-wing BJP anchors. That's really where this is coming from. This is frustration. This is just him lashing out. So they don't vote for his party. They don't listen to him. They don't hear him. And so what he's saying is, you don't listen to me because you are selfish. That's really what he's saying. So again, I can go on, but honestly, this, like, what am I supposed to say with somebody who's not speaking from a position of logic? And what's really galling for me, and this really gets my goat, is the kind of super privilege that this man is speaking from. He is really the Robert Vadra of news journalism. Like, he's there because of a last name. And so what he's doing, he's kind of looking down like a patrician down on the middle class that, you know, hey, you guys have no longer been listening to us. You've become Swarthi. Unlike us, I mean, we've always been Swarthi, but we can be. We are better people than you are. That's really what he is saying. And what is bothering him is that the middle class, the ones that he makes a gross generalization over, that they have a mind of their own. And that mind has drifted away from his approval. It doesn't do what he wants them to do. They have agency. And how dare they use their agency to do something that he doesn't like. This to me is the typical Congressy culture, which was inherited from the British. This is that colonial culture, that some people are born to rule. They're born to, because they are intelligent, because they're educated, and because they have the right last surnames, they have an inherent, almost God-given right to be right. And I don't mean the right isn't political right, but they have the right to be right. What they say is the truth. And if you don't listen to what they're saying, then you are hateful. You are selfish. They are not selfish. They're not hateful. They're exalted. Their education, their privilege, and their last names make them exalted. This is exactly why the Congress Party keeps on going back to this one single family, because that family has established, he says, established a narrative by which they are superior. They, by virtue of being born a Gandhi or Nehru, are superior to you. And you are middle class and you are selfish and you are not listening to us. So shame on you. That's really what he's saying. And the point is that this is not what liberalism is. You see, Rajdeep Sardesai would call himself a liberal. He would call himself a progressive. And many people would call him so. But the real core point of liberalism is recognizing that not all people will think like you. But that does not make them inherently evil or swarthy or communal. You might not agree. I might not agree with a lot of things the BJP right does. I might not agree with a lot of what the left, progressive left does. But I can definitely judge people. And right now I'm doing that in the case of Mr. Sardesai because of his actions. But I cannot, as a group, ascribe a general sense of malignancy on a particular group because I don't agree with their general political opinion. That is what liberalism is. And it's a high ideal to live up to. I think it was Jesus Christ who says, and I'm paraphrasing, is that even sinners love sinners. It's only the good people. It's only good people who can love sinners. Because what he's basically saying is everybody loves people who think like themselves. How does that make you a good person? A good person is somebody who can love people who do not think like themselves. And that's really the core foundation of what liberalism is. And this is not liberal, what Sardesai is saying here. And the way he's saying it is the mark of a demagogue. This is classic demagoguery. Now, somebody said, what about Arnav Goswami? Yes, he is no different than Mr. Sardesai. But the thing is that while Mr. Arnav Goswami is extremely popular among the BJP right wing, nobody would call Mr. Goswami an intellectual. He does not get the platform or the respect that Mr. Rajdeep Sardesai does. And that's the unfortunate part. That's why he's worth commenting on. That's why I'm even doing this video. The second thing that he says, and that's fun, I think it's pretty fun, is that he kind of gets on a rant on scientists. Maybe he's been watching Oppenheimer, I don't know. He says, some of the most communal minds are scientists. Now, this is something which he and Sagarika Ghosh, they don't like scientists. I don't know why. I mean, Sagarika Ghosh once famously called President Kalam a bomb daddy in a written article, extremely disrespectful article that she wrote. So they have a problem with scientists. And I think I know why. I think that the reason why they have a problem with scientists is because they have a problem with the analytical mind. They have problem with people who are thinking on data. These things bother them. It definitely bothers Mr. Sardesai again, because in his fervent, passionate rant, he manages to squeeze in a few seconds about scientists. So it's obviously something which disturbs him. So I think that scientists, and here I must say that I'm a scientist, I'm pretty sure I must have bothered him for him to block me. For those of you who don't know, the reason why he blocked me was not because I said anything abusive, anything actually. I basically screenshot a tweet which he had deleted. And then I had obviously juxtaposed it with something he had said before. By the way, the reason why he deleted it was, well, I think he realized it himself. But then he went on to block me. So I guess I understand why he doesn't like scientists, because scientists, I guess, he thinks can screenshot him. I don't know. But I'm joking, of course. But I think the main problem with Rajdeep Sardesai and people like him is that they do not like people who can remember, who are not guided by emotions, who are guided by data, who can counter their narrative with a more coherent and cogent data-driven counter-narrative. That's what bothers him. And when I say him, I mean him and a lot of people who think like him. I mean, what he's saying isn't something which I haven't heard. I've heard this rant against scientists and scientists being right-wing, which again, you would think is this counterintuitive, but that's exactly what they say, right? And the reason again is that he feels frustrated. He's, when he says scientists, he's frustrated again at losing this core constituency of his viewership, which is scientists and engineers, middle class, who he once used to have, who have now shifted to other channels. Really, that's, and his loss of significance is something which bothers him, because this is an extremely personal rant. And this is another thing about Mr. Sardesai, is that he's very transparent. He's very transparent. And that's what makes him kind of endearing also. So the conclusion, the thing that I wanted to say is that those of you, many of you will be commenting maybe with, you know, Arnab Goswami and other of his ilk who are as one-sided in their analysis and as in the tank for a particular political party as Mr. Sardesai has been. So yes, absolutely. Rajdeep Sardesai is not the only partisan hack who has a platform and is out on airwaves. Absolutely not. There is Arnab Goswami and there are many others. I mean, this is the model of what news media is. And even the pay-to-keep news free people are also that. They also cater to their audience and they only will provide things which will make their audience happy and continue to pay their subscription. So it is an absolutely universal truth across spectrums. So let's not get all sanctimonious on even Mr. Sardesai in this case. So I think that, I'm pretty sure that he is lampooned and his fans have lampooned, you know, the interviews with Narendra Modi, like aap thak kyun nahi jate, aap kya tonic lete, or something. I mean, that level of subservience in the interviews. And it's cringeworthy if you see it. I've seen it, the interviews with Narendra Modi, and they're cringeworthy. But have you seen the interview that Mr. Sardesai did with Sonia Gandhi? I mean, that started it all off. I mean, he is... like, it is as servile an interview as one can imagine. Even the expression on his face, it's like sycophancy brought to life. So if Mr. Sardesai really wants to point fingers at people, and I'm absolutely agreeing the equivalence, but there is something which needs to be said. He started it all. He started this before Arnab Goswami became a thing, before Sudarshan TV became a thing. It was Mr. Sardesai himself who started one-sided political coverage purely for getting approval from one certain political party or one certain wing. And I won't even call him left wing, by the way, because I actually respect the left in many ways. There are certain principles which define the left. This is not even left wing. Just as I wouldn't even call Arnab Goswami right wing. This is driven purely by commerce and purely by a sense of being popular. They just want to be popular. That's the main thing. It's left, right. These are all conveniences. This is just like, what kind of things should I say to keep my audience and to keep a paying audience? Left, right is absolutely coincidental. It's not, I mean, yes, they obviously have some core beliefs. That's true. But when Mr. Sardesai is lashing out, he's not lashing out so much from a political perspective as he's lashing out from a personal perspective. The fact that he's lost his audience to, I'm not saying he still has a significant audience. He still has a show. He still has a bully pulpit. And I wonder why, but he does. But again, one never looks at where they are. I mean, there are many people who would, you know, give an arm and leg to be where Mr. Sardesai is currently. But I'm pretty sure he understands that he's not what he used to be during the UPA days. He doesn't get that level of access. He has to share his screen space with other people who are much more junior to him. And he's no longer the only superstar in the house in the way Arnab Goswami is. And so all of these things bother him. And who does he choose to blame for this? Middle class and scientists. And if this isn't the most supreme sort of intellectual laziness, honestly, I do not know what is. So thank you for listening, and hopefully I'll be back soon. Bye-bye.